only the recording, but the screaming in the background.
Yeah, I do try to take most of that out.
I don't know how you can. Hazel's getting louder. She was going up to another level last night. She like screamed like 30 minutes, just wah! And she's doing the kind of scream like from your throat that makes you cough after you do it. She did that for like 30 minutes last night.
She's playing with her voice. She discovered it. That sucks for you guys.
So I have a Mabel story to tell you.
Okay, quick.
So we were watching TV the other night, and we were watching this, not live, but real live show about a blind fiance or just met fiance or we just got married or something like that.
Trash TV.
Yeah. One of the guys is such a dipshit, and I kept calling him a little bitch out loud. With Mabel on the couch, she says, "Dad, Mom," who's sitting right beside me, goes, "Dad said B-I-C-H. And I go, "No, I didn't. That's not how you spell it." She goes, "B-I-T-H then." And I was like, "Yeah, how did you know that?" She goes, "Dad, there's only two ways to
you
make
it. You mean B-I-T-C-H?
Yeah.
Okay.
How did I spell it?
B-I-T-H. You couldn't do it either. Here you are correcting her spelling.
I'm tired. I could spell it that day, though.
Okay. Anyway.
She goes, "There's only two ways you can get the ch sound." And I go, "She's not wrong." Really? She goes, "C-H and T-C-H. She's like, okay. All right. I can't.
So now she's going to be walking around and going, "I know I'm not allowed to say this word. So now I shall spell it to people."
Yeah, she spelled A-S-S the other day. So how was your week?
Horrible. I don't want to talk about it.
Good. I'm hoping mine's over with, too. I mean, not, you know, in a fatalistic kind of way. Just want it to end.
Well, I'm off today and tomorrow, and then I work 2 16-hour shifts in a row.
Oh, that's horrible. It's awful. So then that gives you 8 hours of sleep before going back, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was going to tell you, it's been pretty cold here recently. It's temperature's been between 50 and 70. Woo! So cold.
If we're 54, we were 54 at the warmest part today, and we're already back down to 40. And it's warm this time of year.
Yeah.
So, fuck off. I don't have anything else.
I don't have anything. Let's get into this thing.
Record this. I got my AirPods in this time. I hope it's a better audio quality.
Oh, yeah, we hear you fine.
You sound fantastic.
Yay.
Yay.
It's like you're sitting right next to us being creepy.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, you're in my brain. I hear it all.
All right. This individual has frequented the podcast so many times, law enforcement has been called. His music travels like a ping pong from the east to the west. Along with his album releases, this artist leads a record label and teaches a kazoo masterclass. Please welcome Dark Soft.
Yeah, I'm all out of my kazoos. I lost them somewhere. So I'll just have to do my mouth noises.
And all the money you'll make off this new album will help you get many more.
I'm hoping it'll fund at least one or maybe two kazoos.
You'll get an endorsement from PV Kazoo Line or something.
That's the dream. That's the dream right there.
Almost.
That's why we do what we do.
Just right. Free kazoos.
So I have my first question. Can I give it to him? So Asiafication was released in January of 2023. Now you're releasing Grayscale. Mm-hmm. So my question is was Grayscale written before your January release?
Yeah, a lot of the songs were actually. Yeah, because the release process takes so long sometimes. And then I'm just sitting around. I'm like, I give it to the mixer and then it sounds great. And then we give it to the masterer and then maybe a label wants to be involved. And then we plan out in advance. So it can be like a 6 month process sometimes.
Mm-hmm. After, I never have those problems.
You've like recorded the song. I'm kind of always producing. And so I think some of these songs on Grayscale actually made like before the Beigefication album came out.
How many of the 10?
I'd say like 5. I would have to look into my project files on Logic to reference that, but I can get you some real hard data if you're really interested. Yeah.
I mean, I just want to know
a
number.
He's a dork. He's really into that. He is.
All right, cool. That was my only question other than stop being a show off.
I don't think that's a question.
It's not, but I phrased
I'll just
it
say way. I'll just say yes.
Nah, keep showing off.
Oh, thanks, you guys. I just want to do more interviews with you. I mean, that's the goal behind the album releases.
Yeah, just keep coming. So you could come out. Yeah, you could come back and anytime and whoever we harass and you can co-harass with us. I want to say thank you again, like we said, for coming back. And I think right off the bat, I just want you to tell us a little bit more about this album.
Yeah, sure. So it's a 10-song album. It's called Grayscale. I sort of made the songs in a similar production style to my last album. So I kind of feel like it's a follow-up to that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm going for more simplistic songwriting. I just want to create some moods that entertain people and sound nice.
It gave me like a road trip vibe.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
Did you try anything? I know you said it's like a follow-up to Beigefication, but did you try anything new with this release at all? I heard a little more guitar work in this one.
Yeah.
I feel like the last one didn't have very many little solos. This time you kind of put them in there. You used more picking in this one than you did in the last one.
Yeah, you have some good ears. I did. It was more guitar heavy. Yep.
Which I know Brent likes.
Yeah. Awesome. There were some songs where I took some different liberties. I did one song that was just guitar and vocals. I really stripped away nearly all the production aside from guitar voice and just a little bit of like synth bass. And I don't think I had done that in one of these songs under Dark Soft. So that was something new. There was a song that felt different for me. It was the fourth song called Only Human. And that one, I was kind of like thinking about some older influences for me. Like some people have said it sounds like Interpol. Like my band does, just with like the playing styles, more like
especially
down-picking.
When you play live. Yeah.
So that one had some different inspirations. So I tried some different production techniques and some of the tracks too. So it wasn't as homogenous as the album that came before.
And you also did something you haven't done. And you joined up with another label, or at least something you haven't done in a while. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. I decided to step back from only releasing music on my own. And I pitched it to a cool label called Spirit Goth. And so they released this album and they printed some tapes. They made about like 250, maybe 300 tapes for this release. And it's part of their cassette club, which is like this monthly tape cassette subscription service, and they'll put out like a new release every month. And so Dark Soft is their featured one for December. That's cool. They helped like get it on some playlists and stuff and get some more exposure to the release. And so it's been really nice working with some other people that care enough to like help and, you know, help me out with my music. It feels really cool.
Did it feel like you were getting some like an extra hand and you were able to back off from some of the production and the harder work that you have? Because typically you're doing almost everything, if not everything.
Yeah.
So did it feel like a weight was lifted? Is it something you think you'll be doing again?
I would love to like work with more independent labels going into the future. I I've always wanted to like step back a little bit from the marketing side of things and just focus on making really good music. It's just so noisy and there's so many operational things you can do. So the more people can help with that regard, I think that'd be really cool.
Since we're already talking about it.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you went about setting up the record label. Cause I'm going to assume that you know a little more than most people. And so there had to be some type of back and forth as far as terms, you know, sexual services, things like that. So go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think I'll get into what sexual services were promised.
Well, that's not fun.
Yeah, I know. I hate being on the record. We'll have to talk later. But no, it's just standard kind of indie record label contract. Nothing that would really surprise you, I think. But yeah, they were just nice to help up front and help get the word out and help, you know, distribute like the music videos. They have some nice followings on YouTube. So it was a cool opportunity to like reach a new audience. Cause
yeah,
when you're releasing music on your own, at least I found like I was hitting a wall. I was hitting like a limit on how far I could push that. And yeah, I would love all the people in the world that might like my music to at least have the opportunity to hear it. So any help getting it out to more people is always cool.
All right, Brent, which song do you want to start with?
I don't care. It's up to you.
Well, let's start with Less Is More, because you do have a music video out for that. It's very, very simple music video. And
yeah,
it took me and Brent both a hot second to be like, wait, he's not actually singing with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really embodied Less Is More. I honestly did make an entire music video for that music video, like a legitimate music video.
Yeah, usually your music videos are pretty in depth.
Yeah.
And I like the ones where you had found that old camera and you used some of that footage as well. So this was like really different to see.
Yeah, I decided I had like this whole music video. It was I made like these frames on the wall with tape and then took pictures of them and then put me playing different instruments at different times, almost like a collage of photos and photo frames on the wall. Like, here's an image of me doing this, 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 mm-hmm. this, this. And then it was so busy. And then I ended up hating the thing. And then I was like, I just like this one version of me only playing the acoustic guitar. And wouldn't it be hilarious if I don't even open my mouth for the song? And so that was like Less Is More. I was like, oh, damn, that's perfect. But the way I work sometimes, I have to like go about this whole roundabout way just to realize what I want. And so that's how I got there with that music video. I ended up recording that like frames idea for Only Human. And I don't know if I'll release it. I might. But yeah, I do have that video in the works. But yeah, that's the background for that music video. And I'm playing my grandpa's guitar.
Oh, really?
Who gave it to me.
It's a classical.
Yeah, it's a classical guitar. That was something I did new on this album, actually. I had acoustic guitar.
Yeah, at least just for the rhythm parts. You always use electric. We even talked about that previously. You were like, even if I'm just sitting at home and playing, I still pick up the electric. So
yeah.
Did that feel foreign to you?
It was new at first. And then I started integrating it into more songs. Actually, Brian Fisher, the mixing engineer I was working with, he suggested that I do that for some more layering so we could like kind of fill out the EQ spectrum a little bit more, because the acoustic, you kind of get more on the high end with those plucks and it kind of accentuates the rhythm guitar in a different way. So that is on Less Is More.
I think the interesting thing is if you listen to it, because of the kind of, I don't know, you had some type of effect on it that made it a little more tinier.
Yeah.
I thought. And so I was like, I was like, is that a real, is that electric or is that a?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
That's funny. Yeah, I think it's because of the way it was recorded. It's probably just me being a novice, because I had never really recorded acoustic guitar. But now I know where to position it. But I kind of like how it sounds. I was using a very soft pick for classical, like strummed acoustic guitar. So that's what you're hearing.
what's going on and how, because you've always been, to me, I've always thought, and my daughter as well, who we all know is a huge Sharksaw fan. She still has the CD. So, but she's like, if you listen, his lyrics are really deep. And I was like, well, and there's a couple songs I'm like, yeah, duh. But then like with this, you almost can't, because it's so simple. But there's that line, there's power in blank spaces. And we started listening again. Also, I kind of hate you because
everything
you've put out has been so good. And you just keep like, it's almost like you don't struggle to come up with music. And as us people who struggle with writer's block, we just want you to know we both love and hate you. So there's that.
I'll take it.
Nothing but shade.
I'll get the white and the black, and then we'll just make gray out of it.
I am gonna like start just being like, I have a verse, you can have it, because like I'm never gonna come up with a hook here.
Thanks, you guys.
Sorry.
You're sweet.
So since we talked a little bit about Spirit Goth, I do want to touch base with Look Up Records. How is that going? We got any new releases coming out on Look Up anytime soon? I'm really ready for a new Elephants and Dogs album.
I know. I was talking with Joe, but he's been at it with his other band.
I know he's been on the road Jimbo. A lot.
Yeah, they've been on the road. They've been working on a full band album, so it's not as much like Joe's stuff. But yeah, I really want to help put out another Elephants and Dogs. Sea Life, he's kind of doing his own thing right now. Haven't heard from Stacking Pennies in a bit. Swim is kind of like doing their own thing. So I'm like happy to put out more stuff with anyone who's gone through the label. I am working with a new artist I met here in Portland, Maine. Okay. And he's going by Andreas Schwarzfeld. Or how did I say that right? I don't know. It means like Black Forest in German. And okay. Then he approached me after like seeing a Darksoft flyer, I think, because I was looking for musicians when I first moved here to play with live. And then we just struck up a friendship, and I helped him produce an EP, this like dark wave EP. I think it sounds pretty rad. And he's singing only in German.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but cool and kind of goth. So
how have I not heard this yet?
Because we haven't put it out, right?
You haven't put it out at all?
This is okay. Under wraps.
Okay. Hey, we're getting the scoop.
You're getting the scoop. Yeah, so that'll probably be the next Look Up release.
So since your label lost its like most successful artist, how do you plan to
just
go
you,
on?
By the way.
How is the label going to continue to progress?
My goodness. Well, I've been kind of doing more on that site as a blog lately. It's kind of how I started that website, just reviewing music and stuff. So I've kind of been using it to put out some of like the knowledge I gained through releasing music on my own. I made a couple of posts on like how to self-release your album or, what are the tools you need to start a label yourselves? I just did a big one on like the guitar DI production techniques I used in my last couple albums. So yeah, lately I've just been using it to like write up some thoughts, and it'd be cool to like collaborate with other label owners or people in the music industry, on that presence. I don't know. That's kind of where my head's at now with it. But that could change.
When are we going to get another Lookup Fest?
Oh, man. I'm not sure. We had a really good run.
I'm going to bug you until you do that.
Of four
just
festivals.
So we're all aware.
Okay.
I'll make one happen underneath you. You won't even know. I'll just
if you
be
wanna,
like, oh,
if you
well, you're going to come play. And then you're going to
use our branding.
You're going to show up. You're going to show up and be like, wait a minute. I know it's a lot of work.
Hey.
It's a lot of work.
And then I have a family now, so I sort of had to prioritize just like
time.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. I was like,
so do you find your
producing my own stuff and releasing others and putting on festivals is had to slim down a little bit.
Yeah. We're doing that over here as well. Do you How are you able to find some balance other than, you know, just backing away from the music? Have you been able to find enough of a balance that your creative self is happy, but you're still able to do the family thing? I know me and Brent both struggle with that as well. So like, we can't be the only ones.
No, yeah, there's an art to finding that balance. Absolutely. I don't know if I'd have like any sage wisdom here to impart. I work from home. That has some benefits for anyone who like has the ability to do that. I don't know. We moved to a more affordable area in the country. It's helped out, I think, a little bit. But yeah, that balance can be tough to strike. I totally agree. Totally understand. Yeah, because you both have been pretty busy. Brent, I see you have a lot of shows lined up too. I was just looking at your website.
Yeah, we just did 2 this weekend. Nice. Same day? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I did 2 on Saturday. That was a rough day. That was a rough day. My throat was toast by the end, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So did you do like a matinee and then a night show?
No, we played a 5, 10K in the morning. Setup was like at 6 a.m. and we were back home by 10. And then I had a kind of like a 6 to 8 later on that night that was just me and my guitarist. So
cool.
And we ended up just because no one was really there. We just ended up jamming more than anything else.
Don't you kind of do that anyway?
I do it to the guys when they're not expecting it. I do mess with them a lot. I do enjoy doing that to them. But anyway.
I've seen the look on your drummer's face when you're like, oh, we're going to do this. And he's like,
he's the drummer's gotten a lot better because he really studies. And I've told him what all my cues are, you know, and he has a good feel of when I'm going to do something now. Whereas the other guys don't always pay attention, so they get caught with their pants down, you know. So, but yeah, we haven't really. We've been averaging about 2 a month. I mean,
nice. That's good.
Not that much. I mean,
well, I think if you did too many shows, your wife would kill you. So
there is
maybe
that.
It works out.
That's a huge thing I need to add. Having a supportive partner is huge to striking that balance. And thankfully, I have a very cool one.
You could still die, though.
I could.
You could push it just too far.
Yeah, you just book that one, you know, that one that breaks the camel's back. Then you're dead.
Do you want to talk about So It Goes?
Sure. Yeah. I'd love to.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, because I ran my mouth. I ran my mouth off about the last one, so go ahead, Brent.
Well, I'll talk about it first, and then I will give you the floor. I like this one a lot. It has very tasteful guitar picking intro. I was totally distraught not to hear a guitar solo in that song, but the keys solo riff was really nice. Well done. Oh, vocals were good. I'm not gonna. That's not.
I love getting this a live review. You should tell me what you didn't like about it too.
He will. Don't ask him that.
Okay.
Did you just ask him that? Do you really want him to answer it?
No. Shit. You should do. You can do it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what I did not like.
Do not offend the guest.
Well, he's asked.
I don't care.
The things nice. that did not agree with my sensitive palate.
Yes.
Where sometimes when you do your vocals, I actually have a question about this too.
It's like, just sounds like you're dying, man. Why are you the whispery so vocals?
Fun. I'm contorted and stuff. But when I listen to your voice, when I can hear it in the mix, because you kind of bury it a little bit, not like our metal crowd does. Our metal crowd, you know, sings at the same pitch as the guitars, you know, so sometimes, and then they distort their vocals, and so then it's really difficult to make out everything that's going on. So if they have like a cool riff in their vocals, sometimes you can't hear it because they're at the same frequency as the guitar sometimes. So you kind of seeing just under what I need it to be at.
Honestly,
for your old ears.
Well, there's that. There is that that's going
genre,
on too.
Man.
I know it's the genre, but I don't like that. I don't like it from any of y'all guys.
I don't like it. That's so funny because I can hear it. I probably just know the song too well or the production too well, but I can hear it. I can hear it all.
Also, you have a lot of movement in your guitar work.
Yes.
And so that distracts me a lot. So I'm looking for things like mistakes. You do a bunch of slides.
Yep.
And so I'm like, okay, that sounded good.
It almost sounds like a mistake sometimes, but I'll like layer it and make it part of the song.
Well, you think it is, but then because you're doing a slide, you're like, oh, I didn't see that happening. You know, so that's kind of the neat part about what you do, because you'll be playing. It sounds like sometimes you're playing in first position. And then you'll do a riff and then you'll do another riff that moves you up the neck. And it's just really,
yeah.
As far as guitar work goes, it's very interesting to me. Some of your picking stuff that you do reminds me of what Doug Hopkins used to do with the Gin Blossoms and stuff like that. It's really tasteful like that, but they don't do all the sliding you do. You do a lot of sliding in a lot of the stuff out here, which I think is just part of the genre you're in, possibly. And you may have your own genre, to be honest with you. But anyway, so as far as your key parts, who's your go-to person for keys? Do you have like one person that you just like go, oh, I've got to get blah, blah, blah on the keys on this song?
So I just produce everything myself. I haven't featured anyone on keys, if that's what you're meaning. Yeah.
That's like an
arpeggiated lick that I like wrote and recorded on my synthesizer.
Yeah. Well, why don't you share with other people?
You want the stems, or you want me to like get in on people's recordings as synth? Featuring Darksoft on the synthesizer. Yeah, if people want that. So It Goes is a Kurt Vonnegut reference. He says that a lot in his books. And I was kind of thinking of him because I used to read a lot of him like in high school, college. And I think my partner and I just read, what was it? It might have been Slaughterhouse-Five. I think we read Cat's Cradle last year, and so It Goes was kind of in my mind.
You know what would be cool is for me to give you one of my songs and have you do the picking part on it. That would be interesting.
We could collab, yeah.
Because it would be like totally, with all your slides and stuff, people would be like, what the hell is going on here?
What's happening?
Because a lot of my stuff
is good. I like it, but what is it? It's new.
This can't be
Uncle Brent. He's never done this before.
This can't be Brent. Sometimes, Brent, I will try my hardest to play a riff only on one string.
That's insane to me.
I just like how it sounds. I don't know.
Well, even in the video that we watched where you did not dance, which I was upset about.
The dance from the last album.
I love that. That's like so one great. Of my favorite indie videos. And you're doing that choreography in like 12 different places. Which
it took a while to film. Yeah.
But anyway, because I know that people that are self-produced kind of do a lot of the work. And, you know, I've asked other people, you know, how much is too much you? I mean, because at some point, I was talking to AJ, who's the producer I work with. And I go, how does AJ know when there's too much AJ in the mix? And he didn't give me a good answer, so I'm going to pretty much figure you're not going to give me a good one either. But go ahead. Answer.
Well, I feel like you've set me up to give you a very egotistical response, you know, as being a solo producer that does all the parts in his songs. Because, I prefer working that way. I don't know. I like hearing the song and, like, putting it down like that and kind of owning all the parts, and I know how they all speak to each other, and I can just like get it down real quick. But I don't know. I like the end product. I've never been like, oh, this is missing something. I think doing collaborations with other people would be great. Maybe on like different, under different names or different releases. I'm not against that at all.
Which you have but done before.
I've definitely done that before. But I think there's beauty in like, you know, finding your own sound and seeing how far a musician can take something like that on their own. I don't see it like really detracting from much.
But what I'm thinking about is this. So if you're doing all the parts, you may not know there's another part out there that could have been there.
Yes, but
and that's
analysis paralysis, my friend. You can have millions of parts. Nothing matters really. Anything could be anything. Anything could be anywhere. And what's to say that one part is better than another?
I don't know.
I guess that's kind of my thought process when I'm producing, because there are like so many potential ideas out there, so many ways to go about producing, or like so many different licks you might have. So I'll just like choose one and move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise, I just like get kind of stuck.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
So
man.
You knew you weren't going to get the
answer. I know.
You didn't get the answer you wanted.
No, he knew that going in, though.
Well, the reason you self-produce is it's cheaper and you can maintain control.
It's not all about money or control. I just love the process of it.
Yeah, but it is cheaper. I mean,
yeah, you can play hop all in the and parts. Do it whenever you want, though. It's flexible. Yeah. Like, if you have the space to record in your home and all that, it's being truncated, and it's so much easier to do so nowadays. I feel like it's part of my daily ritual. You know, I'll just like, if I have 15 minutes or half an hour, I'll just like go into the lab and try to work something out or work on an unfinished song. You know, it's kind of, it's a cool like part of my life that I do. It's not like I'm booking time in a studio and I have to like focus in on that for 3 days straight, you know, and give it my all and get a bunch of people involved and like make it this stressful thing because we're on the clock. I just like to have it be more relaxed and just part of the day to the day.
Well, the day what I do with people is I send them like parts and say, I need you to do this. And just like guitarists, I go, play whatever the hell you want.
And cool. Okay.
Like, just don't suck.
Yeah. There's so many people like collaborating and they're doing so remotely like that. And I think that's really cool nowadays.
Yeah. And that's fun. That's what I figured you would do. You would just like, And then they send it back to you, and then you can go, that's shit. This is good. This is interesting, yeah. But screw that. You know, anyway, I'm going on too long.
Yeah. I might do more collabs in the future. I've been talking with some other artists about doing some collabs like that. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you being a producer is kind of cool too, because let's say you produce something and you don't even touch a fucking instrument. You make everyone else touch the instrument.
That'd be so funny. So I did a little bit of that with that Darkwave EP that I was kind of referring to earlier. I mean, the guy was singing and I did like synth and bass, so I don't know if it fully counts. But yeah, bringing other people into it, it could be fun. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you find a band and your goal is to record them, you know, and mix and then do all that stuff, then you wouldn't be playing because you wouldn't technically be a member of that band.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I have recorded bands in the past. Like, I did that for beer money in college, actually. I had like a little basement recording studio set up. It wasn't super professional or anything, but we got some demos out and did a handful of local bands. And
so you don't mix your own stuff, or you do?
No, that's the big collaboration. That's the way I see it. It's like I get all the dry stems together and then I send it out to the mixer. That's what I've done with every Darksoft release. And then we'll have someone else master it. And so for the last two albums, I worked with Brian Fisher. He's a great audio engineer based in the Boston area. So he did a lot with effects and reamping the dry stems that I created to get some nice like amp sounds. And then he mixed it as well. And then we sent it out to a master, Stefan Mack, to put the final touches on it.
So did you give any feedback on the mix? Or was that it? He just did it and he said, fuck you, Darksoft. This is it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't care what you think. This is the final take. No, he was nothing like that. We've kind of like planned together a little bit more. We will create a reference playlist just through like Spotify of artists that I like or songs that I would like to emulate. And then we kind of use that as a foundation. Be like, hey, here's the general vibe, the genre. I'll be like, hey, I like this guitar tone in this song. I like this sounding drum kit in this song. And like, we'll kind of merge those together. It's been a good, collaborative process to work. And I think a lot of musicians are kind of like working that way right now, especially bedroom pop, home recording musicians. A lot of them are just doing what I'm doing. It's really not anything unique.
I'm just surprised you kick your mixing over to someone else, because they could pretty much make you sound like a metal band if they wanted to.
Yeah. And you just have to find the right mixer that is appropriate for your genre. And sometimes that's hard to do, especially when you're starting a new project.
So let's talk about Brent's favorite song.
Cool. Which one is that?
Bubblegum.
I don't know if Bubblegum is my favorite song.
I thought it would be. I'll jump the gun. That's on me.
Well, don't get me wrong. It was one of my favorites. But there are a lot. Okay, people, there are a lot of good songs on this album. It's just, if you can get over what he's doing when he's suppressing his vocals, you know, it's fantastic.
He's not suppressing his vocals. You have to stop saying that to people. you have to stop saying that. You're killing me. It's a genre. You've got to let it go. You've got to accept it.
I want to hear your voices.
I would not like the sound of it if I turned it up any higher. I feel like on some songs, I'm like, the vocals are far too present. Yeah. It's so funny.
Do you feel like they're too present in?
Well, I think this album is mixed really well.
This album is mixed very well.
Thank you, Brian. But I don't know. Some, like, when they're isolated, like in that solo song where it's just guitar and voice, you know, like, this is, wow, these are vocals are really present. I'm in vulnerable land here. You know?
I was gonna say that about Bumblegum. where it wasn't quite as shoegazy, bedroom poppy as some of your other stuff. It actually, to me, leaned more towards some of that grungy alternative guitar picking. You could hear more of your vocals in that one.
It was pop, man. That was pop. That was, he just took a left. I thought that one sounded very Cure-ish.
I could see that. A little more
Cure-ish because you know how he normally has, of course he has at least one guitar, but sometimes he has two and he uses them to pivot off of each other. And you did that with the strumming and the licks and you put those two together. It's really nice.
Thank you.
But yeah, I liked all your guitar work on that. I kept listening to it and go, oh my God, that's great. Oh, he had another great opportunity to play a solo and chose not to.
I felt like there was a little bit, it wasn't like a crazy solo, but there was a moment where there was just like picking.
Yeah, there's like two lick parts that come in and out. And you just use that as the chorus essentially, or like the post chorus. I don't know what you want to call it. I know what you're talking about. I don't really go all out with like the solo stuff. It's just like, here's the guitar melody.
You do. You fly under the radar. You'll do stuff that's like interesting and sometimes like it's a little bit difficult, but you do it in a way that it just slides under the radar, you know? So you have to, I'm listening closer to it. Like I liked almost all the guitar parts on this song. So I really enjoyed that. And the solo part, you do cool stuff with your solo where you kind of play with the, it's like you're doing your picking part, but at the same time, you'll be in first position. And it sounds like you're playing some type of melody. And I don't know how you work it on in all in because.
I'll play melody parts, but I will blend the notes together. So it sounds like I'm outlining a chord. And then sometimes I'll like change the fingering pattern and do that with a different note. And so it kind of, I like kind of blending and making dissonance as I'm playing the melody, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I really dug your guitar work on this album, I think. And
on
this
song, I didn't do all direct in. I recorded some amp effects. I kicked on my rat pedal. I try to get as like shoegazy and distorted of a sound as possible through the amp, just playing that like strummed rhythm part. And then that's kind of buried in the mix, but it's there.
Thank you.
So in one song, I specifically heard you go into your falsetto, which is not a common thing for you to do. So
that's true.
What happened? Because normally you sing.
Well, you know, almost, sometimes you're like down here, Brent, and then sometimes you're like up here. So I think that's what happened.
No, it's just, I mean, normally you sing. See, because I was listening to it, and I was like, okay, I'm wondering if he does some of this so when he's touring, it doesn't just tear up his voice. Because if he's singing kind of in the pocket,
the sweet spot
of his vocals, then he doesn't have to worry about as much wear and tear. But that's also your style, too, at the same time, to sing.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that, there's a sweet spot in everyone's voice, and you kind of just hover in there. But like in Only Human, you went at the end, you went falsetto at some point. And yeah, so I was kind of like
ending the song and toning it down. But on that song, I kind of go for it in more of like a full volume chest voice, which I don't often do in recordings. But I'm not thinking of like, what am I going to sound on tour? I've never had that thought. And never. Now I might. I might now after this conversation.
Now you've ruined it.
Yeah, now you've ruined it, man. I just feel like I want a more chill, understated vibe with the voice. And then falsetto maintains that. Because if I was using my chest voice to do some of those parts, I would be really pushing it. And it would not sound good. It would just feel strained. Mm-hmm. So I just stick in the falsetto when like the melody warrants me to be in that range, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. When I heard that falsetto cool. in Only Human, I was like, he's going to lose his street cred right here. He just lost his street cred.
That's awesome.
He just did a Mariah Carey.
You need to start like posting about how I've lost my cred.
No, I am not. I'll let Brent just
isolate every moment where there's a falsetto on this album and just string it together in this video. And like, proof why Dark Soft sucks now.
Oh, hey, just because I critique you doesn't mean I don't appreciate what you do.
I have to tell you, me and him both talked on several occasions. That was a terrible sentence. I'm sorry. I have COVID brain.
I got it. That made sense.
It was in several of our intros, where we'd be like, what are you listening to? And on multiple occasions, we were like, Dark Soft. Beigeification and Cryo are two albums that like a lot of your listens on YouTube are me and my kid. Like I'm sorry if you see the numbers ticking up, but at least half. I believe it is what it is me.
That's hilarious. Okay, I listen to it on the way. Next time I think I'm like blowing up or something, I'll just be like, no, it's just right now.
It's just right now on her way to work going, it is what it is. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, just call me. You're probably like, I need to call Brent to get level set. No, man, this album is really good.
It is. I mean, both albums this year are really good.
It's walking a line. I think this one is more of a walking a line than Beigeification, though. I think this one is almost kind of a different creature, in my opinion.
It's also been really, really interesting for me personally, because I interviewed you, God, in the very beginning. I mean,
yeah.
And you had that string of videos. I can't remember which album it was, where each video was. Yeah, each video was connected to the other, and it was like the saga of this guy. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it's so artsy. I love it. And now you've really come like, and now you're doing this other thing over here that is a toned down version of that. But I feel like in this album, you're bringing some of that artsy stuff back that you kind of pulled away from in Beigeification. Cool. And you've made kind of a nice little mix. And I'm really excited to see what you do next, because you're so young and you're so talented and you've done a lot.
Guys,
really, genuinely.
This is too much. It's too much.
No, it's not. It's not. Like, sometimes I'm like, God damn it, Dark Soft. I can't. How did you get that hook? I do that with you. I do that with Trashy Annie. you're doing a lot of really hard writing. And it's just interesting to see how you've changed.
Yeah, you've kind of seen a progression. Yeah, because I have sort of changed the sound. I've tried to make some things more palatable than like being so like conceptual all of the time.
Yeah.
It's funny, like year to year, I'll look back and be like, I don't like that album that I put out last year. That's
you're like, that was
I don't
terrible.
Even consider it. Yeah, that's not even me.
What the fuck?
What was I thinking? Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not you now, but it was you then.
Yeah, it was. Art's weird like that.
That's a good interview. I like that kid.
All right. Why don't you see us out? Man. I'm very, very tired, Brent.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. It was great. We got to talk with Darksaw, find out what was going on with the new album. Just have a good time. If you like us or do not like us, just share us because we want to be on everybody's phone, radio. Yeah. We want to be streamed by everybody. Remember to...
Yeah, it's been about 3.5 years and we would like to see some better growth. So if you could like, follow, subscribe, download, and share, we would really appreciate it.
And remember to make
hey.
So.